This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market, more than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now, with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
And a fine good morning to everyone out there as we inch closer to college football coming back, which means we've gotten an extended run here. Normally, we're well into Pac-12 football season. I'm into high school football season. But no, golf getting an extended run. So we'll take you into October. Probably not going to get you all the way to the Masters, but
Well, we can get you to Halloween.
Get you to Halloween, I think.
Right. We can give you a little trick or treat.
That's right. Well, you're not going to be able to do it out in the streets, according to the CDC. That's not that's a high-risk activity here amongst the COVIDs.
Yeah, I had heard that.
So you're going to have to get one of those, T-shirt gun things and load it up with candy and just have the kids
hold
up the sack out on the sidewalk at the street and just see if you can aim it in there from the porch.
I'm going to look into that. It's like a handheld mortar or something.
Exactly. Yeah, just get with the CO2 canister, a little pump action, and just fire out the Butterfingers to the sidewalk.
Snickers, Milky Way.
Okay, yeah. Whatever.
Butterfingers is okay, but give me a Milky Way any day.
There you go. Well, now we know his candy of choice. So
yep.
I'm Hershey's Special Dark. I like the dark chocolate.
I can understand it being special.
No milk chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, no, milk chocolate doesn't quite do it
for
me.
No. Dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Exactly. We got a busy, busy hour. Obviously, lots to cover with the U.S. Open last week, as well as the Portland Cambia Classic. Georgia Hall winning there, her second LPGA Tour victory. Bryson DeChambeau's been the talk of golf here over the last several weeks, and it all came together for him on Sunday at Winged Foot and has a lot of people's heads spinning as to how he's gone about this. And the way he did it at Winged Foot in a most unconventional style, and has a lot of people scratching their heads about, okay, is this a real life Happy Gilmore? Is he going to eventually hit a 400 yard drive that's not aided by slope or wind or conditions, that he just hits it 400 yards?
I think that's what he's after. He's obsessed with hitting the ball as far as he can. And let's face it, distance wins. And I don't care what era in golf, over the last 600 years, if you can hit it long, you have an advantage.
So we'll get into more about that. We'll hear some of his post-round comments. Also, Rory McIlroy, after his U.S. Open, had some interesting comments as well. So we'll get into that discussion of, is this good for the game? I don't know if it's necessarily good or bad, but I also don't know how much it will lead to everybody doing it. I don't think everybody can do this. I think that's different from what Tiger brought in, was athleticism to golf. That made a boost right there. And now you look up and down all the young guys, the Korn Ferry Tour and the young guys coming onto the PGA Tour. And whether you're 5'8" or 6'4", everybody has a similar lean, lanky, sinewy, strong look to them for the most part. Athletic.
Yeah, a lot like you and I.
Well, I've slimmed down.
Yeah.
I'm going for that look. It's a little too late for me, though.
I've got the slim, and I lack the lanky, but I've been working on it.
Okay.
I'm sinewed.
That's true.
Yeah.
We just need to put you on the rack a little more, stretch out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I know you've got one in your dungeon, so.
I've tried hanging from my ankles and hanging from a door, trying to get taller. There are eras in golf, and we are seeing a new era here.
Yeah.
And we'll get into talking about that
new
era.
We'll see how pervasive, how long it may last. Interesting conversation. We welcome your thoughts as well on the fan text line at 503-250-1080. You got a question for Harold or thoughts on what you saw from Bryson and where the game might be going at its highest levels. Also, Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA, made it public that he will be stepping down next year. What that could mean, if there's an opportunity for the USGA to start to, I don't know, make nice with the other big industries of golf or continue to see things their own way and be an albatross. It's a unique opportunity for them. But
yeah.
Mike Davis made a lot of headlines one way or the other, whether you liked them or didn't.
Well, personality counts in this case because now with social media, everyone is under a microscope, and I'm not sure that he navigated that as well as he could have. Great guy, worked his butt off for 30 years with the USGA, now moving on. He's been thinking about this for a couple of years, wanting to get out. He's not that old. He's only 55. He wants to get into a little golf course design. So everybody wants to get into golf course design after they leave their career. I don't know how many more golf courses we can design. I recommend they go back and redesign ones that have already been done. And we will talk about that because that'll impact the era we're entering.
No question. And we do have a guest in the business of golf. Frank Tallarico Jr. Is the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest Golf Association. Pacific Northwest chapter of the PGA.
No, it's not a chapter. It's a section.
Okay.
We'll work on
it.
Well,
okay.
Within it's a section.
You're in charge of the Oregon chapter,
right?
Which is one of the five chapters in the Pacific Northwest section.
Correct.
Of the PGA, and Frank Tallarico is now in charge of it, taking over for Jeff Ellison, who has done quite a bit of service to the Pacific Northwest for the golf industry.
Yeah, 30 years of service, and Jeff Ellison was a master at running tournaments for professionals and doing what he could to make PGA professionals more accessible to the public. I'd like to hear Frank's thoughts on that.
So we'll talk to him at 8:45, but lots to get to. So we start, as always, by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
Three tours in action this weekend, including the European Tour. They are in Northern Ireland for the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. Two-way tie now, top the leaderboard at 7-under. Maverick Antcliffe, who's a young Australian, and Jazz Janawatanand from Thailand, who's 65th in the World Golf Rankings. He has spent time on the PGA Tour, having himself around today, 5-under through 14. He's tied at 7-under. Dean Burmeister and Aaron Rye are one shot back. So John Catlin, the young American who won a couple of weeks ago, got his first European Tour victory. He's trying to work his way up. He's in the mix, tied for sixth at 4-under. So that's what's going on across the pond.
Did you see Patrick Harrington pick up half a tree and move it out of the way so he could hit his ball?
No, is he working on World's Strongest Man? Is that going to be his next career now?
No, but
Magnus Van Magnussen.
The European Ryder Cup captain proves that the rules can be bent. You recall when Tiger had
a bunch of people in the gallery move a giant boulder, yeah.
Yeah, I think you have to say that can be done, but the player has to do it himself.
Okay.
Instead, we know Tiger's
not doing that because he'll throw out his back and never play again.
Right. But okay. I thought that was an unfair advantage then to have a bunch of people determine that a boulder, if it can be moved by 20 people, is now a movable you know, a loose impediment, then how come a half a tree is a loose impediment? I think we had a problem there.
It's not affixed to the ground.
Yes, correct. But how many people can you get to help you move it?
I don't know.
If it's fanless, you got a problem.
Well, whoever succeeds Mike Davis is going to have to deal with that.
They got a lot of things.
Should be first on the priority list.
Right.
The Korn Ferry Tour is in Wichita, Kansas for the Wichita Open, supporting Wichita's youth. And Harold's favorite golfer on the Korn Ferry Tour, Taylor Pendrith, in the lead at 13 under. Do you know why he's your favorite golfer on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah, he's a Kent State Golden Flash.
There you go.
And so is Mackenzie Hughes, 2012 class produced.
What's with the Kent State pipeline to Canada?
We're a couple hundred miles away from.
Okay.
The Canadians have always produced some good players.
No question.
And they've got a great program up there with Brunton, and I can't remember his first name, Harold. I think.
Sure.
So anyway, they produced a lot of good players, a bit like they did in Sweden, a bit like they did in Korea, not quite the same, but developing some good players, and they do have a pipeline down to Kent State. So
there you go. Well, Taylor Pendrith looking for his first win. He's got a third and 3 seconds so far this season on the Korn Ferry Tour. He is seventh in the top 25 list coming in. So a victory will almost assure him of a PGA Tour card whenever we get around to doing that again out of Pumpkin Ridge. He's been knocking on the door. He's ready to win on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, and he showed it last week at Wingfoot, tied for 23rd, played well, and said it was the most difficult golf he has ever played, was happy to be even par, I guess, in the last round. He's happy to be at a golf course where he can make some birdies now.
And they're making birdies. The PGA Tour is in the Dominican Republic, the Corrales Punta Cana Resort and Club Championship. Mackenzie Hughes, you speak of him, he's currently tied for fifth at 9 under par. Everybody chasing Hudson Swafford at 12 under. He's looking for his second PGA Tour victory. His first came the only other time he held a 36-hole lead, and that was at the 2017 American Express down in La Quinta. And so he's got a 2-shot lead over Sean O'Hare, Luke List, Justin Suh. Our favorite, Scott Harrington, the Portland native. He was a first-round co-leader at 7 under. This is a course that he's performed. He holds a share of the course record at 62 when they played a few years back at a Korn Ferry Tour event, and he was cruising along till he got to the 8th hole yesterday, put it in the water twice, took an 8 on the par 4. If he could have that hole back, he'd be right in the mix, tied somewhere in the top 10. So, but he knows he can go low on this course. When you've gone low and you know you can make birdies on a course, he was 14 of 14 hitting fairways in round one in that 7-under round. You hope he can find that form and just put that one hole out of his mind and see if he can put another round like that together.
Yeah, and he did say afterwards that he played as well as he's played in a very long time in that first round. And he even played well, except for that one hole. He played very well.
When he got it back, he shot
33 on the back nine. So three birdies, no bogeys. Did quite well to bring it back. I think the important thing for a lot of players, and I'm not saying he's a young player, but any player, is that if you do trip and fall, how do you respond to it? A lot of young players, a lot of inexperienced players, will go quad, double, bogey, and then they're on the train and they can't get off of it.
Well, we saw Matthew Wolf do that on the back nine.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We'll talk about that a little bit here, right? Or you want to do that right now?
No. We're going to get into that. That's what's going on with the PGA Tour. So this is a full FedEx Field event. Obviously, a lot of the top players after the U.S. Open electing to stay put. But NBC, so KGW will have the coverage starting at noon today, noon to 3. So flip on over in between your college football games you're watching. Check out the action. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, like if you want to go play resort golf, I can't imagine a better venue than what I've been watching for 2 days.
Yeah, it is pretty. And
I imagine wind can be an issue there.
Well, absolutely. It will be an issue. And they haven't had much wind. It kicks up in the afternoon. And I think that's probably where Harrington had some problems, where the ball got caught up in the wind and ended up in the water. I saw a hole in one. I was watching the coverage, yeah. and I can't remember who had it. Was it Adam Long?
Might have been.
Yeah. Knocks one in from 180. You know, par threes are so difficult, and professionals look at a par three as take your three and get out of there. Take your chances on a short par four or definitely on the par fives. But when the wind comes up on a par three and you're that close to the water, you've got a challenge.
Yeah. All right. So that's what's going on with the PGA Tour. We'll come back. We'll go back to Winged Foot, the U.S. Open. Bryson DeChambeau blows away the field on Sunday. The only player at the top of the leaderboard under par for the round in red numbers for the tournament. He does it in as unconventional fashion as we've seen amongst the PGA Tour players in quite some time. We'll discuss if he can keep this up and if it's good for the game or not. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. 8:18 here this morning. Jason Swigard here of Bluestein with you. Center and Saint following us. Then we've got the Ducks 2019, the OSN Classic. So we'll take you through the 2019 season up until they get ready to start. That was the big announcement in the week, November 6th. The new schedule should be out sometime next week. And then Game 5 Lakers-Nuggets tonight, 5:30 right here on The Fan. That is the lineup. Coming up at 8:45, we're going to talk to the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA, Frank Tallarico Jr., succeeding Jeff Ellis, and get his thoughts on how he sees the industry from the professional standpoint here. Coming out of COVID, hopefully eventually in moving into the 2020s in that decade. But let's go back a week ago. Winged Foot, many were predicting the winning score to be plus four, plus five, the way that things were setting up, 4-5 inch rough off the fairways. And Bryson DeChambeau was undeterred. He's going to mash it as far down there. And even if he's in the rough, if he's got a 9-iron or one of his wedges, he figures he can control it better rather than being in the fairway but having to hit it 170 yards or so with a 7-iron, 8-iron probably for him. Mm-hmm. But and then hoping he can hold that on the green. He averaged 314 yards off the tee and it left him an average. This is according to an article on golf.com. He had an average on the par fours and par fives, his approach shot, 56 approach shots, of 130.21 yards, which for him equates to a 53-degree wedge. And he has gone about this. He's bulked up. He's changed his driver. He is swinging with as much fury as he can without falling over. And it's blown everybody away.
Well, it's interesting that he did not lead the field in driving distance. So you have other players.
Wolf, I think, actually led in driving distance.
Yeah, and where DeChambeau did well and won is that his approach shots were incredible. So in shots gained, I mean, he only hit 23 of 56 fairways.
Right.
Which is really not many at all. He, I have a stat here on his strokes gained, but in approach shots, it was off the charts. It wasn't first. I think Zalatoris was first.
I think he was third.
Yeah, which for him has always been a struggle. Yeah. And then he putted well.
I've got it here. Off the tee, plus 5.38 strokes gained. Approach, plus 6.98 strokes gained. And putting, plus 4.59 strokes gained. So for off the tee and approach, he was third in the field. Putting, he was 18th. He only needed 1.6 putts per hole for greens in regulation. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a different, and he has approached it. He's got the physics degree from SMU. He is incredibly technical to a degree that I don't know if there's an equivalent ever in the history of golf. Obviously, there are some players that have been all feel and instinct, and there are other players. Phil's kind of in the middle because we know the detail to which Phil analyzes a lie and what it's going to do, and if he uses a wet and the swing angle and the angle of descent that hits the butt, he can analyze that all in his head, and he's talked about that. But he's still, in some regards, kind of a feel and instinctual player. He just has more imagination than others. Whereas DeChambeau is incredibly analytical and technical in his approach.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think they're two different cats. I think Phil's focus has always been on the short game, and he does become more scientific in a sense, but as you said, he's more of a feel player when it comes to those shots. DeChambeau, everything's a math problem, and it's all designed to do one thing, and that is to make the sport easier for himself and for him to shoot the lowest score possible.
Well, and he talked about that in his U.S. Open post-round press conference. Just his mind is always going.
There's always going to be people that say things. There's always going to be people that do things. But no matter what, my focus and my message to everybody out there is each and every day that you're living life, try and make this day better than the previous day. Let today's garbage be better than yesterday. And the fans that have always been there, the supporters that have always been there, I can't thank you enough for everything that you have meant for me. You've kept me pushing the needle, moving the needle, and you're going to keep inspiring me too. So I really thank you for everything. I couldn't do it without you guys.
He's an interesting guy. He's not warm and fuzzy. And you know, think about guys in think tanks, guys working at NASA, men and women working at NASA, where they're just, their minds are always going on what's next and computing the next problem. And you wonder, is he enjoying it? I think he has a rich history of golf. I think he appreciates it, but he's just not warm and fuzzy, and he's hard to sometimes root for.
Well, that was a rare moment of humility when he thanked people other than himself. And, because he is really self-centered. In some ways, that's what it takes to be a champion.
We saw that with Tiger initially.
Absolutely. And Jack Nicklaus. And every great player like that has a certain,
a drive.
Yeah, they're obsessed.
A singular focus.
Yep.
And in order to get there. And so
warm and fuzzy doesn't come into the equation.
No, not if you... You know, it's when you get to the top, it is lonely.
Yeah.
Especially if you distance the field in a manner, you know, Tiger did for a while, and the fishbowl finally caught up to him.
It comes down to who do you root for?
Yeah.
And as I'm watching the U.S. Open last week, I'm yelling at the TV, Noonan, over every one of DeChambeau's putts because I want him to miss. I really like... Wolf, I wanted to see him do well, and he did very well. He deserves to hold his head up high in his first attempt at a U.S. Open. It was tough.
And DeChambeau's just got, I mean, he's got some of the top players in the world shaking their heads on what's going on, including Rory McIlroy.
I don't really know what to say because that's just the complete opposite of what you think a U.S. Open champion does. Look, he's found a way to do it. Whether that's good or bad for the game, and I don't know, but it's just it's not the way I saw this golf course being played or this tournament being played, and I just can't really wrap my head around it.
Yeah, and I can understand that because we're all victims of the information that we receive from around us, other people. And we've been, the USGA and the tour in general is trying to make the golf courses more difficult and to try and rein back the distance issues off the tee, which they've never been able to do fully. But you're looking at a player like Rory who has grown up into the game, has an appreciation for the history of the game, and has always thought that the U.S. Open, you had to hit fairways to have a chance to hit greens.
Right.
DeChambeau is saying, the hell with that. I'm going to hit it as far as I can and figure out how to hit it onto the green. And I'm going to have an advantage because I'm hitting a wedge and you're hitting an 8-iron. And I don't care whether I have to do it from the rough or from the fairway. I'm going to do it my way. And that really changes the way we are going to be thinking about golf.
Well, and he's not satisfied with what he's doing yet.
Not going to stop. Next week, I'm going to be trying a 48-inch driver. We're going to be messing with some head designs and do some amazing things with Cobra to make it feasible to hit these drives, hopefully 360, 370, maybe even farther. We don't know.
Yeah, well, like we've said, he's a mad scientist. A 48-inch driver, we're not sure how that produces more distance. I know there's been debate on longer drivers producing more distance, but the movement in the last several years is players moving away from 45, 46 inch drivers and back to 44 inch, 43 inch drivers and hitting it just as far. So he's going to be experimenting in that. I don't know the science on it. I don't know. I haven't studied it. More power to him. He's got a 5-degree lofted driver.
His putter head has more loft than his driver.
Yeah, he's got a 7-degree loft on his putter, which is remarkable. I mean, most putters have
2 degrees,
two and a half, 3 degrees of loft, and that's to get the ball just up in the air just a little bit so it can roll. 7 degrees is like, my goodness, that's like a 1-iron, and almost. And so it's hard to understand how that works in putting with a driver. I have no idea. I think his contribution to the game is not going to be so much on the physical side, but on the mental side, or his impact, how we think about playing the game and how professionals. This is where I heard some doubt in Rory's, in his quote, is, what am I going to do to keep up? What do I have to do?
And that's a guy who's in the top 5 in driving distance on the PGA Tour right now.
Yeah, he may not have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because I'll guarantee Bryson DeChambeau is not going to win every major going forward. And I don't think he's ever going to equal Tiger's accomplishments. I think there's too many good players around now. But he will impact a lot of young players as to how am I going to develop my body to be able to take advantage of a golf course.
Yep.
And what do I have to do physically? And so that's the mental impact he's going to have on the game, is that people are going to think about how they play the game and how they prepare themselves as professionals quite differently.
Well, that'll lead us into our tip segment, maybe for people that are starting to go, well, what do I need to do? Okay, if I'm going to swing out of my shoes for a drive, trying to get as much distance as I can out of my swing, what do I need to do? How do I start changing how I practice or build my body? Those sorts of things.
Yeah.
We'll get there as we make the turn here. Still to come, Frank Tallarico Jr., the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
8:34 here this morning. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein with you, taking you up to the top of the hour. Sinner and Sadel take over there. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Frank Tallarico Jr., who's the new CEO for the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA, going to join us and talk about coming up. Spent 20 years in Southern California and has come up here to the Northwest, and what his vision is for the PGA chapters in the section, as well as the golf industry here in the Northwest in the coming years. But we continue on. We're talking about Bryson DeChambeau, his win, what it could mean now that he has come up and has a chance, he has a chance to be the number one ranked player in the world at some point here if he can keep this going. But in terms of, you know, I heard some comments between Golf Channel and the guys on the coverage talking about the incentive for young golfers coming up. People going to teach these young kids how to hit it as hard and as far as they can, given their bodies. Their bodies will develop. They will get stronger as they age and grow bigger and get stronger. But even a younger age, the incentive now, it is clear how much distance matters, and is that going to change your, I mean, one of your big pushes has been development of the game. You teach teachers, you do stuff for high school golf coaches everywhere and trying to keep up with the times and evolve in the education and the teaching of the game. Is this going to be, there's no point with the driver, just hit it as hard as you can.
Well, I can tell you that if, you know, I could just see these middle-aged guys who are overweight and out of shape coming to the range with their brand new Cobra 48 exactly. or 50-inch driver and say, "I'm gonna hit this ball." You know, when I was 20, I could hit it 300 yards. Yeah, that's just garbage. And they're gonna be out there. They're gonna try and buy a game. You got to understand, Bryson DeChambeau started by developing his body. So I've always been rather concerned about teachers who instruct their young kids to swing as hard and as fast as they can. It's a certain element of that, but you have to realize the body's developing. And it's not fully yeah. developed until players are about 20, and that can vary on depending on the player. But it's learning to swing fast without injury. And so DeChambeau started by developing his body first. And I know Chris Como worked with him on that. So the science was build the body up, get it stronger. And so they are really in training, in physical training to do that. The equipment is secondary, and they're going to goof around with that and experiment with it. But it really starts with the body. And I can tell you that most people, and I don't care whether you think you can hit it further, everyone can hit it a little further. Step one is find the center of the club face. Step one is get yourself a trainer and learn and get yourself yeah. in physical good condition. It depends on what you find in the game, what's important to you. If it's just going out there and gripping it and ripping it, then you better get in shape to do it or you're going to hurt yourself. If it's to have a good time, then it's a little less important right. for that to hit it further. But talk to your PGA instructor. Yeah. Have them come up with a program, and we all know trainers, and we've had trainers on the show.
Yep.
And I'm going to be going to mine. Not that I want to hit it further. I would just want to continue to maintain what I do have. What we learned at the U.S. Open and the way that the USGA set that golf course up is that when you narrow fairways, you not only hurt the long hitter, but you also hurt the short hitter. So they narrowed the fairways to a point where they hurt everybody in the field. Well, now who does that give the advantage to? It gives the advantage to the long hitter yeah. again.
Yep. If everybody's hitting it sideways.
Absolutely. So they yeah. didn't do anything to in that respect. I'm sure you have more questions about how to hit it further, but
getting the body, what if you want to maximize the distance that's within you,
mm-hmm.
then where you
club head speed, hand
club
speed.
Head speed.
Yep.
So what are the things that you need to do in that body preparation?
Well, stabilize your lower body, number one. And
that's what we've been working on.
Yeah. And we think that club head speed is just just about the hand speed. Well, it is, but speed and length comes from the ground up. So it comes from the ground up and from our core out, and our core out through our hands and into the club. So you need to stabilize your lower body, and that's where you need a trainer to help you learn how to do that. Most of us have saggy glutes, bad hamstrings. You know, the muscles we need to hit the golf ball far and to stabilize the lower body, it just, they don't work. And now we've had Super Speed, Mike Petch, on the show.
Yep.
With Super Speed Golf. And that is a very, very good program to learn how you can do it at home. I have, and developing speed. Orange Whip, where I want to get Bert Nelson or someone from Orange Whip back on, because they now have a new program out to develop that lower body and build hand speed. But those two in combination are a good start. And those are things you can go online. Now, be careful when you go online and they talk about hitting the ball further and they say, well, you got to turn your hips faster. Well, you can turn your hips too fast and your hands don't keep up. And then you got a problem. So you have to learn something about your body in particular and how it synchronizes those motions. But be careful of what you get online, because I just went online to see what was there. And, I mean, there's a million different ways. Yeah. Here's the quickest way to hit the ball further. And
there's gimmicks and then there's plans.
Yeah, be careful with that.
We've always recommended get with a PGA teaching professional, and that's they can help. They're reviewing all of this stuff. There's stuff within the industry on seminars and education for them about, you know, the evolution, what's the latest and greatest, what's new, a new way to look at it, but also they're vetted through the industry to make sure that it's not something that's going to be detrimental to your health or your game.
Right. And if you notice in the last, I know as an instructor in the last 10 or 15 years, the movement towards science is huge. It started with video and it's gotten into every aspect of science to make us better players. That's why you see players in better condition and hitting the ball further. If your PGA instructor uses TrackMan or K-Vest, some sort of teaching device that helps them to understand the student's body and how they can get the best performance out of it, that's the way to go.
Well, we'll see what else is in store for the industry. Our next guest, Frank Talarico Jr., is the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA. He just took over at the start of the month, so we'll get an idea of how he's making the adjustment coming up from Southern California and what he sees for the industry here in the Northwest as we come down the stretch. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:46 here this morning. Jason Swigard with Harold Bluestein wrapping up another edition of Golf in the Northwest. Cinder and Saint will take over after us at 9, but right now very pleased to have joining us for the first time the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA, Frank Talarico, who comes up here to the Northwest after 2 decades serving as the lead of the Southern California PGA Foundation. Frank, thanks so much for joining us here this morning. And we'll start just how has the move and the transfer been up here to the Pacific Northwest?
Well, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you this morning. It's been fantastic. To say I'm excited and pleased to be in the Pacific Northwest would be the understatement of the day.
Frank, when I've looked at jobs out there or career changes, I actually had to because they canned me. But in your case, what was it about this particular position, the CEO position within the PGA, that appealed to you?
Well, as you said in the intro, my career in golf began 22 years ago when I received a phone call from a mutual friend who was then working at the Southern California PGA section, asking if I would be interested in talking to him and the CEO of the section at the time about starting a foundation with the section focused on growing the game of golf, particularly for kids 7 to 17 years old. You fast forward 22 years, and you know, I've still stayed involved. I've served as the chair of that foundation for the last 4 years, and my phone rings again. And you know, you could agree that the best jobs find you; you don't find them. And the idea that I was getting a phone call asking me if I'd like to throw my hat in the ring to become the CEO of the largest section geographically in the country, a section that has a reputation of running probably the finest tournament program in the country. And I'd be a fool not to be interested in that position. So, you know, I was honored and pleased that it found me, and it's hard to say no to a position like this one.
So for our listeners who may not know, we are the largest section. There are 41 sections in the PGA. And how does this how does your office serve the professional, and how does it assist the professional in serving the public?
So, I mean, the vision and mission of the section is real simple, which is probably a good thing, so we can always stay focused. It's grow the game and serve the member. And you hit it on the head, Harold, and it's how do I serve, and how do we as a staff and a section serve the PGA member so that they in turn can serve the public, because we should never forget that the PGA member is an expert in this game of golf. And really, first you have to appreciate the PGA member wears lots of hats, anything from a junior golf leader to a teacher to a businessman and a marketer, and our job is to ensure that those members are always, without compromise, enjoying best-in-class services, across these different disciplines, so that they are always at the top of their game and always in a position to always deliver quality instruction, quality services, quality information to the general public.
Frank Tallarico, our guest, the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA. And as you mentioned, kind of doing a lot of inside support to the five chapters. The geographic area is vast. It's different. You've got areas like Portland and Seattle, where it's a large metropolitan area, and then extremely rural areas out in Montana, Idaho, Eastern Washington, and Oregon. How do you see, a lot of different needs? You've got resort golf in certain areas. How do you start to put together a plan as an organization that's overseeing everything to do things that can benefit all those different areas of the country here when it comes to golf?
Well, a couple of things. First and foremost, that you're right. It's a very disparate section. So you've got five different chapters with five very different demographic profiles. But the one common denominator is the role of the PGA member in those sections. That being said, we're very fortunate in that despite the distance between any two chapters, you've got a very tight-knit, very, very tight-knit professional association of members. And so because of that, you can rely on them from the chapter structure to really, look into their own chapters and give us the regular and recurring feedback that we need to know how best to serve them. So, it's a wonderful place to be when you're surrounded by professionals who take their profession very, very seriously, and these members certainly do.
Frank, it's been a rough year, and we saw I serve on the board of directors of the section, and we've been dealing with the pandemic issue ever since March. And then we had a change from Jeff Ellison to your coming in. Where do we go from here? How do we monitor and continue to grow the game when we're in some ways restricted?
Well, as you said, the shutdown affected everyone and affected all businesses, and courses and practice facilities were obviously not immune to that. I tend to be very, very optimistic on the rebound across most businesses, but especially in the business of golf. I think the numbers thus far are proving that to be true. I mean, even as quickly as May, so when things started to loosen up, Harold, you started to see 22% more, rounds of golf scores posted to the USGA over the previous year. In Oregon, Woodburn, for example, saw 800 rounds over Memorial Day weekend. That's twice as many as the prior year. And, what gives me a lot of hope is the idea that this happened before the PGA Tour even came back. So it wasn't necessarily the influence of seeing, you know, famous PGA Tour players on TV and that motivating maybe your loyal golfer to come back out onto the golf course. I think that you've got all those folks, but I think you've got a whole new group of golfers coming out now too. And you know, one of the things that I think, and it's almost ironic, it used to be that one of the challenges for the game of golf typically was that, you know, people had concerns over how long it took to play a round of golf. Some folks say it's, you know, five and a half hours for a round of golf. That sort of vanishes when you've been locked up for a while and you want to get outside and enjoy some fresh air and maybe some friendship on the golf course. So on how this golf industry is coming back, and I think it's going to continue on a strong trajectory. How we serve that rebound, we have to make sure that our programs are staying ahead of the curve. We have to make sure that the members are prepared for what I think is going to be an increase in demand, how best to deliver those services to this maybe new population of golfers, and always remind the population out there that who wants to play golf that, you know, you got a question or you have an interest or maybe you've been playing golf and you want to refine your game, your first call should be a PGA member.
Frank Tallarico is our guest, the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA. The other issue, we saw Mike Davis, who's been the CEO of the USGA now for a number of years, announced publicly he will be stepping down soon. There has always seemed to be some sort of friction or tension between the USGA and the local state, you know, the OGA here in Oregon and the PGA. How do you see this as an opportunity, whoever might be stepping in for Mike Davis, as well as working with the local golf associations in each of the states that you now, how do you see this synergy maybe be able to become closer together and be more in the interest of the general public and the recreational golfers moving forward?
Yeah, it's a real good question and one that actually I've dealt with personally over the last 22 years, having been involved in Southern Cal, obviously. These are our allied associations. If you look at it, they're two halves of a handshake. The USGA is typically regarded as representing the interests and of the game, as well as that of the amateur player. And the PGA is there to grow the game and to serve the amateur golfer. So this is a real opportunity to ensure that we are coming together as both halves of that handshake. And really, you know, being mindful, not of our own personal interests and agendas, but really focusing on how do we best serve that amateur who's coming out to our golf courses, who's seeking lessons from our professionals, who wants to get fitted with clubs at our golf courses. So this is a real opportunity for the USGA to really embrace the idea of working together with the PGA of America.
Frank, we've got a real challenge right now with, you know, We're doing fine with our pro-ams and some of our tournaments, but we are struggling to raise money for charities through some of these pro-ams and tournaments. How do we help? And this is a great, this is one of the efforts the PGA of America and the tour make every year, and that is to contribute to charities. How do we go about continuing that in this era of the pandemic?
I think we have to start thinking differently. I think it's time for us to, you know, maybe not necessarily put all of our proverbial, you know, dollars and cents, eggs in one basket, because when things like a pandemic hit, the basket will finally be empty. I think that there's real opportunity for partnerships with that maybe we haven't seen before with corporate America. And I'm a big fan of the idea that, as we've already discussed, you know, as we come out of this pandemic and we see that golf is enjoying some very robust growth, that the golf industry is going to be a wonderful vehicle for corporate America to partner with as we come out of this and together help one another grow our respective brands. As a result of that, we're going to see revenue increase with the flexibility to participate in charitable endeavors. So I think it's a question of looking at this differently. I think the days of, you know, let's do a charity golf tournament and hopefully we'll have, you know, a full field and folks are going to, you know, spend extra at the auction. I think those days are, I don't say they're over, but they have to be complemented with some new thinking.
Well, we look forward to your leadership. Unfortunately, we're out of time here. We'd love to have you back once you get your feet settled and start to get into the job. Frank Tallarico, the new CEO of the Pacific Northwest section of the PGA. Thanks so much. Best of luck. And we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks, gentlemen.
There you go, Frank Tallarico. So much more. We could have gone on for another hour with him. We'll get him back as he's able to start setting more of an agenda. But looking forward to what he brings to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that was an interesting comment. Last comment he made about thinking differently. He's a very innovative person, thinks outside the box. And we're at a period of time now where we really have to think differently.
Yep. No question. Center and Saint up next. Thanks to Will Darkins, as always, producing for Herald. I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight. Fine. Pulled up the sack out on the sidewalk at the street and just see if you can aim it in there from the porch.
Look, I'm in the rough quite a bit.
So. Yeah, you are. These are getting creamed. You know how easy I am.
Yeah, I know.
Features in Europe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.